rate, debate, recreate.
Now we're recording. Hey everyone.
Hello.
What's up, all you girls and gays? Welcome to Rate, Debate, Recreate, episode 2. I'm Sammy Purcell.
And I'm Logan Keller.
And we're back, and it's gonna get murderous up in here, especially if you're a woman.
Yeah, it really, really is. So as a reminder, on Rate, Debate, Recreate, each week, Sammy and I will bring two musicals to the table that fit into a predetermined category that we made because it's our show and we can do what we want.
Whatever the fuck we want.
Each week what we'll do is we'll bring them both to the table, we'll each rate them on a scale of 1 to 10, we'll debate them with each other, and then at the end we'll recreate a portion of it to make it better, because we are certainly qualified to do that as two people who did musical theater as an extracurricular in college.
Yes, I know better than the experts. I am the expert. So do we want to go over what the category was again?
Let's do it. The category this week is, drumroll, high-profile trials regarding murderous women.
Woo! So, what's your musical, Logan?
My musical is Legally Blonde, the musical.
Amazing. And my musical this week is the one, the only, Chicago!
Damn, she did that.
I did.
Okay, so to get things started, we typically will give a quick little synopsis of each show. So, Sammy, do you want to kick us off with telling us what Chicago is all about?
Yeah, I'll kick us off for sure. So, just for clarity's sake, I'll be going off the movie as far as the plot summary and the order of the songs. I have seen that show, but I was like 8 years old, so I don't remember much about it. But I've seen the movie about a trillion times. So, here we go. Chicago is a satire about the criminal justice system and the celebrity status that we assign to criminals and the commercialization of that industry. So it follows characters Velma Kelly and Roxy Hart. Velma is a famous vaudevillian who finds out that her husband is sleeping with her sister, and so she kills them, as one would. Roxy is an aspiring star, and she's cheating on her lame-ass, kind of stick-in-the-mud husband, Amos. Poor
to
Amos.
You.
I know, I love him, but she obviously doesn't. So she's cheating on him with a guy named Fred, who is actually Detective McNulty from The Wire. She's doing it because she thinks he can kind of help her get her foot in the door. She wants to be in Velma's position. She wants to be famous. Turns out he lied, and he can't help her, so she gets really pissed and she kills him, as you would in that situation. And the rest of the musical follows the two women in the lead up to their trials as they try to use the press and their lawyer and the fame associated with their crimes to their advantage to get a not guilty verdict and to retain their fame after the fact. So that's kind of the gist of Chicago. It's a great musical, great movie. It won Best Picture at the Oscars.
Damn.
It's perfect. Not that the Oscars always get it right, because they don't. Hello, The King's Speech. Sorry. So for my rating, I will be giving Chicago 10 out of 10.
Wow. First episode and we're already giving out 10s.
10s.
Or second episode. I'm high again, everyone.
That's okay. This is my...
Wine and weed is the name of the game for me these days.
Maybe this podcast should be called Wine and Weed. Maybe we should change it. But do you want to explain what Legally Blonde is about, Logan?
Yes. Before we get into Legally Blonde, I have to tell you something that I don't think I've told you before, which is a quick story about... I have many stories about Chicago because it's actually one of my favorite shows. But this one's not that fun. I mean, it's fun. It's funny about me. In high school, we had this like former Broadway actor come and do like a master class with us.
What the fuck?
It was, yeah, he had like gone to my high school.
Okay.
And he was like in Phantom of the Opera and a couple other things. Anyway, 6 people got to do solos for him in this master class. And I was one of the lucky 6. And I sang Mr. Cellophane from Chicago. However, at that time, I wasn't really well acquainted with my voice, and I didn't really like know. I sang the whole thing an octave down. I literally was like, cellophane, Mr. Cellophane. And today I get made fun of for it by my friends, and it's one of the most embarrassing things.
What did he say to you?
He was like, I would recommend singing it up the octave.
Oh my God. You know, I was such a little, like, oh, I was such a bitch about like singing in high school. I would have been sitting there watching you and I would have been like, oh my fucking God, like in my head. I would have been so mean to you. I apologize for that.
Thank you for your apology. There were probably, I mean, there are certainly people doing that, probably. Okay, anyway, on to Legally Blonde. The version of Legally Blonde that I'm going to be going off of is the, it's a filmed version of the Broadway musical that MTV did.
Iconic.
Yeah, iconic. Also, like, shout out to that for making it so accessible. It's literally like a professional quality film of this stage show that's done really well. It's on YouTube. Like, it's pretty easy to find.
Yeah.
More shows should have this because Broadway is not an accessible thing. It's so fucking expensive, and it's only in New York.
Wasn't it hosted by like LC and Audrina?
Yes, it was.
Oh my God. That's so perfect.
Oh, what a different time. Anyway, Legally Blonde the musical is based off of Legally Blonde the movie, which is based off of the novel Legally Blonde by author Amanda Brown. Basically, this story, if you don't know it, follows a sorority girl, Elle Woods, who is like literally your stereotypical, like over-exaggerated sorority girl. And I think plays to a lot of the like California and stereotypes that we see about like Greek life in Elle Woods. Mm-hmm. Anyway, her boyfriend Warner, who she thinks is gonna propose to her, breaks up with her because she's not serious enough for him and he's going to Harvard Law School. Less of a Marilyn, more of a Jackie.
Rude.
So she applies to Harvard Law School and gets in to win him back. But once she's there, she, you know, she kind of has a rough start, but she starts making a couple friends, including Christian Borle, or shall I say Emmett, who is kind of like a TA figure in law school for them at Harvard. She eventually starts to like succeed and realizes that she doesn't need Warner's love. That's not even important to her anymore, but like what she cares about is staying true to herself and fighting for the things she believes in. So she starts to, you know, working on this case with Brooke Wyndham, who is a like high profile exercise mogul, who allegedly killed her husband. Mm-hmm. She also was in the same sorority as Elle Woods.
How's it go? It's like
Delta Nu Nu Nu, Delta Nu Nu Nu, you are a Delta Nu Nu. Yes. So yeah, Elle works on that process and defends her. A lot of stuff goes down. Some like creepy scenes from the professor come up. Some fun like questioning of sexuality numbers come up. And yeah, overall, the whole theme and message of it is like being true to yourself, you know, living your truth and things along those lines. Also, I didn't even mention Paulette, who is like a very central character. She's the hairdresser that Elle meets in Boston, or Cambridge, I guess. And
basically Boston.
Whatever, same thing. And yeah, plays like a really pivotal role in helping, and they play a pivotal role for each other, I think, in helping them see their self-worth. So yeah, that's kind of the gist of Legally Blonde. I'm going to give Legally Blonde the musical 8.5 out of 10 Pilars.
Wow.
Pilar is one of the choristers. Yeah, in the Greek chorus.
Okay. Did you watch Chicago? Did I miss that?
No, I haven't. So okay. we should do that now, yeah.
Okay. So I'll rate Legally Blonde. I would like to rate Legally Blonde 8 out of 10 Pilars.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I like this musical.
I'm going to rate Chicago 9.5 out of 10.
What are you taking off for?
So, just to clarify for our listeners out here, yes, I did just rate Sammy's show higher than mine. Doesn't mean I'm not going to fight for my show and argue for it and debate the good qualities of it. But what Sammy and I did when we picked our shows was we brainstormed a list of like 100 musicals and did like kind of like playground choosing team style where we each went one at a time and got to choose one. So sometimes that means we chose shows. I'm still going to defend Legally Blonde and I love it, but I do have to admit Chicago is one of my all-time favorite shows. So yeah, it's a 9.5. It's a near perfect show for me.
100%. Chicago, at least, is the best musical movie I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. 100%. Mm-hmm. And I know that's like not a hot take. It won the Oscar. But it's really fucking good. Yeah,
like it's either that or Camp Rock.
Oh, for sure. Camp Rock. over a High School Musical?
Just kidding, Sammy.
No, I'm serious. I like Camp Rock.
No, I love Camp Rock too, but it's not one of the best musical movies ever.
I don't know. It's pretty good. I'm kidding. I don't know. I can't keep this up. Okay, let's move on to the serious discussion we're going to have about this. Boom, boom. So I guess I just like to kind of start off with a couple of notes on the conceit of the Chicago movie. So this is a conversation. I brought up my dad last episode. He has a lot of opinions. He hates Stephen Sondheim. But he really loves this movie. And he loves musicals. Like, he likes going to theater and he likes seeing stage shows. He doesn't like a lot of movie musicals. Mm. And it's because he has a really hard time suspending his disbelief. Like, we saw Les Mis.
That's fair. A lot of shows don't get it right.
Yeah. So we saw Les Mis, the movie, together, which, I mean, has a lot of other problems, but his big takeaway was, like, I can't sit here and, like, watch these poor, hungry people start singing. It's silly. It's just very silly to me, but he wouldn't have a problem with it if we, like, saw a stage production of Les Mis. It's just weird, like, it's easier to suspend your disbelief when you see a play or a musical. But Chicago really effectively just like puts all that to the wayside because every single musical number, except the first and the last one, I believe, like happen outside of the realm of possibility. Like they happen in this dreamlike state. So the first one is All That Jazz. So like obviously like that's at the Vaudeville Club. Oh, great song. Great opening number. One of the greatest opening numbers.
Yeah, I'm probably going to say that exact phrase a lot this season of podcasts because I do frequently say that opening numbers are iconic, but I have to especially emphasize that for Chicago because God damn, that is an opening number.
It's so good. And Catherine Zeta-Jones, who I will just exalt this entire time, she's so good in this movie. Mm-hmm. Side note, there was like a debate over what to do with her hair, whether to wear it like long or wear it short. And like, I might get some of the details of this wrong, but basically the whole idea was they were like, oh, what should we do with your hair? Like, blah, blah, blah. And she wanted to wear it like close crop to her face so that you could tell it was really her dancing and that it wasn't a double. And damn. I was like, yes, bitch. Like, girl.
Icon.
Oh my God. I love her so much.
She's the one who won the Oscar, right?
She won the Oscar. Deservedly. Oh my God, yeah. She's so fantastic. So All That Jazz, and then the last Nowadays, which maybe actually isn't real, I don't know. But like those are the two that just probably take place like in real time on a real stage. But everything else is kind of in a dreamlike sequence. So
and they're done on a stage.
Yeah, so it's done in the club.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's just such a great way to like get rid of, you don't have to suspend your belief because they do it for you. Like, you know, it's not real. And I think for people like my dad who just can't stand to see people sing in movies, I don't know. It's just a really great way to like make it overtly clear that it's not real. I don't know. It's just wonderful. I think it's such a great, great movie. I think it completely deserved the Oscar. I can't remember who else was nominated that year, but I really don't even care. And that's all I have to say. I just think it's really great. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I 100% agree with all of that. I think Chicago is definitely my favorite musical to movie adaptation. I would be hard pressed for any, well, I don't want to say that and sound pretentious, but I think that's like a very popular opinion.
Yeah, I don't think we're like, community. We're not being like subversive here. Like, I think
No. Yeah, but sometimes it's popular because it's true. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, yes, and I am obsessed with Legally Blonde, the musical. I think it is it's the definition of like pure fun and like dance, and it just has everything. And I think it's really well executed. Mm-hmm. I have a lot of thoughts about this show. First of all, I think that the original Broadway cast is just filled with like some of the most talented and incredible actors and actresses. Laura Bell Bundy, Christian Borle, Orfe, Emily Ashford, Kate Schindel, Leslie Kritzer, Andy Carl, like all of the, I don't know, I just like am obsessed with all of these people. I think that the message, like the overall message of the show is really empowering. And I think it's more empowering in the musical than it is in the movie.
I agree. And I said that with Shrek last week too. Like,
yes, I think that
the musical does it a little better. I love the movie. But.
Yeah, and I think to me, that's like one of the really big parts of like, because here's the thing, I know that I'm probably defending even more later in the season, like more movie to musical adaptations. But I'm not a fan of like all of them as a rule. I think that certain things have to be done. And to me, it has to like elevate the original story.
Yeah.
Like I saw Mean Girls on Broadway and I really enjoyed it and I thought it was fun, but I didn't think it elevated the story like Legally Blonde did to the movie.
Are we ever doing Mean Girls? Because I disagree.
I think we might be, and we'll see. I really do like Mean Girls, but I don't think that it takes the story to the next level in the way that Shrek or Legally Blonde do. Mm-hmm. I think that the whole theme is about empowerment, is about like the most important type of love is this self-love that we can give to ourselves. Mm-hmm. And like, that's how we can best serve the world. And by like staying true to who we really are, like that's the best outcomes that we can make. I think that's like a really powerful storyline that's told in a really like funny and quirky and relatable way through Laura Bell Bundy as Elle Woods.
I do love her. She's great.
Yeah. And I know I just outed myself as someone who's going to say things are like the greatest of all time, but like, oh my God, you guys, is a really fucking good opener to a show. Like it does such a good job of like establishing exactly where you are. Like, you know, the vibe, you know, that Elle Woods is the sorority girl, but you also know that she's really smart and witty and like has substance behind her, even though she might not always show it. You know, I don't know. I think you just like are introduced to the story so well. There's also a lot of wit in this show, which I appreciate. I think the Greek chorus is like such a phenomenal idea. Yeah, and in what song? In What You Want, when she's like, and now some legal jargon, and she's just like, Exhibit A. Time for my cross. I object. Like all the, I don't know, those little like one-offs are so funny to me. And then to end the first act with So Much Better, that is like a crowd like detonating it's like insane what that song does, because not only is that song so difficult to sing, it's like so hard, but it also is such a like beautiful and powerful turning point, because that is like, from that point on, Elle is no longer like, Warner's not even in the equation. This whole thing that was like what she thought was so important to her, what she really realized was like, that was like her ego. And that was her, a lot of these other things in her life that weren't true to herself. Like what she actually cares about is most important. And from that point on, the entire show, she is like in the right, in my opinion. She is like on this good mission. She's doing it her way. And yeah, I really love that transformation that you get from So Much Better. And it's also just like, wow, what a fucking song.
I agree. And I think, I want to give credit where it's due. I was listening to a podcast called The Bechdelcast. Shout out to The Bechdelcast. But they did an episode on Legally Blonde. So they like look at movies through a feminist lens. And they talked about, and this is something I never thought of before, and it's probably because I saw the movie Legally Blonde at such a young age. I just like didn't really register. But however much of an asshole Warner is, like, he still has the right to break up with her if he's moving.
Yeah, and he can't just like stalk him across the country.
Stalk your boyfriend across the country. Like, I think when I was younger, I was like, yeah, you tell him, like, prove it to him. But it's pretty creepy, and it's kind of a creepy setup for a movie. But what I appreciate about the musical is she gets over it so quickly. Like, and I do think, like, in So Much Better, that Act One finale, like, Warner is officially a non-starter anymore. He's not important. But she gets over him, like, quicker than that. Like,
it's, oh, yeah, I agree.
Like, the musical rushes through, like, the Playboy Bunny scene a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And he says some pretty dickish things to her in that scene. And she's kind of like, what the fuck? And then she's like...
Yeah, like, why would you say that?
Yeah, she's like, she gets over it so quickly, which I really appreciate. I really like Lily.
She's a Gemini. She speaks her mind. Gemini, double Capricorn moon.
How do you know that?
That's literally a line in the show. She's like, I'm a Gemini, double Capricorn moon. I think it's that. It's something, she's definitely a Gemini, but something else might be the moon.
Oh, words. But yes. So I really, really do love Legally Blonde.
I love how our debates are just like, I want to acknowledge how much correct I think you are.
I just want to tell you how much I validate you and how much I love you.
That's good communication.
But I have to say, I think this is a little bit of the argument I had with Into the Woods last week, sort of. And maybe I'm just into like morally ambiguous things. Mm-hmm. but I think it's the more interesting show or movie or TV show or whatever it is will always be, to me, following the protagonist who is not so morally clear. And I think, and I do love this about Elle, and I think that it's interesting that, like, and this happens in the movie too, it's interesting that she is, and I think, I don't want to say that, like, white blonde women are discriminated against, because they're not, but they're often seen as a mean girl. And I like that she is, like, a popular person, but she is, like, nice. You know what I mean? Like, she is...
Yeah, like, even when she is in her sorority and position of power, she, like, doesn't use that to be, like, a bitchy person. She is still believes in being nice.
Exactly. So, I mean, she's, like, she's a white, blonde, beautiful woman. Like, it's not... But I think often, like, young girls see a cool girl in a movie and or a musical, and they're like, oh, she's a bitch. That's why she's cool. But, like... Elle Woods is generally well-liked. Yes, she's pretty. Yes, she's blonde. But she's also a nice person. So I appreciate seeing, like, a popular person be a nice person. But I think what I, like, really gravitate towards, especially with Chicago, is, like, the idea of a woman as an anti-hero, which you don't see a lot, especially around the time that this musical and movie came out. Because, I mean, Roxy Hart as a hero... I mean, she's a dick. Her and Violet both. Like, they literally kill people. They actually murder humans. But you're still on rooting for them. You're still rooting for them. And even when they're at odds, it's hard. I don't know if you have, like, a girl that you root for more. But I kind of like both of them. I get where they're coming from. Mm-hmm. I just think it's, like, very, very cool to have to women and kind of the anti-hero role, especially, like, so early on, like, before Mad Men, before Breaking Bad, before, like, it became a thing in TV, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which it was a thing in movies beforehand, but, like, my age and, like, growing up, like, those are the two I remember most, like, as emblematic of anti-heroes, Don Draper and Walter White, right?
Yeah.
But to have, like, these two pretty... anti-heroines.
Like, terrible, in Chicago, but really cool
they're
people.
Terrible. Exactly. They're, like, terrible, but you still want them to win.
Yeah. And they're also controlling their narrative, which I think is really, I think that adds to that. Like, it's not just, like, this villainess that's, like, soft. I don't know. That's, like, the classic, like, I don't know, in some ways, but it's whatever.
Yeah, that's, no, I understand. And I think, like,
that was bad.
Now we're definitely not cutting it out. No, but I think you're right. Like, they both have such agency. And that's not to say that, like, Elle doesn't have agency. But I think, again, this is just, like, a personal preference of mine. I'm, like,
yeah,
into kind of, like, a bitch. I don't know.
That's fair.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about music now? Kind of get into that vibe? Okay.
Yeah, let's talk about the music. I'll go ahead and give my bop list because Legally Blonde is full of bops. Again, this is going to be a long list, and bops are the only songs that we don't skip when we're listening through. Oh my God, you guys, What You Want, Positive, Ireland, Reprise, where she takes it up at the end, So Much Better, Whipped Into Shape, Bend and Snap, They're Right There, Legally Blonde, Legally Blonde Remix, Find My Way. Notice all of the songs that men sing are not good. That was probably by design. one thing I have to point out, which is, I don't think this is part of what makes the show that great, but it is, I've probably seen Legally Blonde the musical on stage, and the professional recording, like, a conservative estimate would probably be like 25 times.
Yeah.
And this is still the first time I've ever heard this lyric, was when I was watching it in preparation for this. It's in the courtroom scene right after they expose Chutney for having murdered, what's his name, instead of Brooke Wyndham.
Yeah.
And they're like, it's the same vibe as Oh My God, You Guys. So like, if there ever was a perfect couple, this one qualifies. It's that tune. Oh, and they go, she saw right through Chutney's fizzy perm. I'm just imagining being a writer and writing, she saw right through Chutney's fizzy perm.
Fizzy perm?
And it's, poor, yeah, Chutney. And it's like the whole casting's it. It's just like the lawyer squad, like all the background characters, the judge, they're all like, she saw right through Chutney's fizzy perm.
That's great. I love that. Did you finish?
Yeah, so that would be my bop list. Okay. And I think the music is just so goddamn good.
It is.
Sindel belting at the end of Legally Blonde Remix. She belts that high A.
Though that is fucking ridiculous.
And then have you seen, there's this video of her doing it on her very last night where she takes it up to a high C, but belting it.
Yeah.
She's like, Legally Blonde.
Like, that's the kind of thing I watch, and I'm just like, do you ever like watch someone sing, and you're like, I hate you. Like, it makes me so upset. I wish I was you, so I hate you.
Yes, no, I am a Kate Schindel stan, but I know that vibe.
I'm going to get to my bop list for Chicago. But before I do, I just want to point out one person in Chicago who I think is overlooked. He was overlooked by the Oscars. He was the only, one of the only like big name actors and characters who was not nominated. And that is Richard Gere. Let me say, Billy Flynn is a dream role for me.
Know, it's legit one of my top dream roles.
I know. You've told me that. And I completely understand why. It's an incredible role. The beginning of All I Care About, when he's like shining the guy's shoes in the movie, it gets me every single time. Like, I've seen that movie about 70 times. And the fact that he is not the guy getting his shoe shined, but he's the guy doing the shining, like, gets me every single time. Like, oh, it's just so great. It's so wonderful. And I think that was probably like, I'd seen Pretty Woman, but that was like my big exposure to Richard Gere was this movie. So I kind of have always kind of seen him as like kind of smart.
Billy Flynn. Yeah.
Billy Flynn. He's always Billy Flynn. And so when I'd seen Pretty Woman at the time because I have older sisters and they love that movie. But when I actually like was old enough to appreciate Pretty Woman, I was like, oh, that's Billy Flynn. What are you talking about? but he's just so good. He taught himself to tap dance for the role. So he actually is doing like during the courtroom scene where he's like tap dancing, doing this whole thing, like during his argument, basically he is tapping. And I just think he's so iconic and he's so quick. Like, he's just like the perfect balance of smarmy, but you like him, But he's like not your friend, but you want him to be your friend. I think that's the biggest thing. Like you know you can't trust him, but you just want to so badly, you do. I just think he's so, so great. And he's the only main actor not nominated for an Oscar, and I'm upset. So I would just like to, on the back end, nominate Richard Gere for an Oscar.
Yeah, I'm on that train.
Once I'm a part of the Academy, that's what I'll do. So, on to the bop list for Chicago. And this is a really special bop list because I don't think I skip a song. So it's pretty much the entire rest recording. So all that jazz.
I don't know if I'm going to agree with this.
No, correct me if I'm wrong. You like literally jump in. I don't skip a song. All that jazz. Funny Honey. When You're Good to Mama. Cell Block Tango. All I Care About. We Both Reach for the Gun. Roxy. I Can't Do It Alone. Mr. Cellophane. Razzle Dazzle. Nowadays.
I don't agree with this bop list, to be honest.
What do you skip?
I think that you're missing two songs. Which are...
Well, one of them was cut. What's the other one?
Me and My Baby.
Both of them were cut. I told you.
And the other one is Class.
Class was cut.
I know it was cut. And it's still on the bop list.
Okay.
That duet between Queen Latifah and Catherine Zeta-Jones talking about Class is literally so good and should not have been cut.
No, Me and My Baby shouldn't either. They like keep the backing music like for the
that whole song was also in the show I directed.
I was in it. What's up? Watch it on YouTube. But okay, I'm just going by the movie. But even adding those two in, there's no skips in that soundtrack. There's no skips.
No, I know. I was on. I agree with that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm saying there's no skips. Even the songs that aren't in it should not
be skipped. They're so good.
Yeah.
Oh, cheers. Oh my God, so good. Should we move on?
Yeah, let's go for it.
So let's move on to the recreate section. So Chicago was based on a play, which was written by a reporter who worked in Chicago, a female reporter, shouts to women, worked in Chicago during the time Chicago is set in, basically, during the time the musical is set in. And Velma and Roxy are based on two famous murderesses who were, you know, covered widely by the press. So the whole thing is kind of this reporter's, like, perception of the fame of criminality, basically. And the character of Billy Flynn in the play and in the musical is a composite of two real lawyers. So I kind of like this idea. So I love the character Billy Flynn.
Yeah.
But I think it would have been really fun to see him play off a different lawyer and kind of up the
ante.
Yeah, kind of up the conversation that way. So this conversation of like the celebrity aspect of basically crime in Chicago at the time. So we have a DA in the movie Chicago and in the play who's played by, I don't know how to say this, Colm Feore. I don't know if that's how you say his name, but you definitely recognize him. He's been in like every famous TV show you've ever seen. He's like in 24, he's in House of Cards, he's in everything. But he's kind of in Chicago, the DA is kind of a nothing part, right? Like he's in there at the beginning and he's in there in the courtroom scenes, but he's like very obviously blown away by Billy Flynn. So I think it would be really fun if instead we were to like add another lawyer and make him the DA and just basically up his role a lot. So there's a lot more interaction between those two aspects of the criminal justice system. And I understand why they didn't do that, because like fluffing up another character is probably just like a little too difficult and they don't have enough time. But I think the rivalry would have been a great mirror between like the rivalry of Velma and Roxy.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who would I cast? So that's the other big question. So I don't know if you know this, but Richard Gere was not the first choice for Billy Flynn.
Who was it?
I'll tell you right now. So the first choice was Hugh Jackman, who refused because he thought he was too young, which like maybe would have been true. I'm not sure how old he was at the time.
I love Hugh Jackman.
I do. I really like Hugh Jackman. Vibrato out the wazoo.
Yeah, that man can sing.
Yeah, but I really like Hugh Jackman. But I think he might have been right. Like in 2002, 2001, he was probably a little too young. The next person in line that they asked was John Travolta, who refused the part because he like basically like read up on the musical and was like, this is a musical about women who hate men. I only want to do movies and musicals about women who love men. I'm going to say
yikeroni.
So, needless to say, I don't think John Travolta should have been cast if that's how he feels about Chicago.
Also, if that's what he took away from reading.
If that's what he takes away from Chicago, maybe he shouldn't have been cast. But I do think Hugh Jackman could have been a fun kind of like counterpart to Richard Gere as far as like a younger upstart DA, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to think of more people kind of along that same line who could have played kind of upstart lawyers in contrast to Richard Gere's like older defense lawyer. So here's what I've got so far. I came up with a list of actors. So Hugh Jackman. Matthew Broderick, I think he would have been kind of playful, a little more snarky.
Mm-hmm.
Taye Diggs, so ooh, he's the family in the movie. Exactly, but I think we can upgrade him. And I think it would have been kind of a Benny-esque role, like he would have been kind of playing off his role in Rent. Victor Garber, he literally has already played a lawyer in Legally Blonde. So he would have been great. Then we've got Patti LuPone.
Ooh.
Make it a female. Patti LuPone in a tap dance battle against Richard Gere, the stuff of my dreams. And then the other actor I had in mind was maybe Chita Rivera. She starred in the original musical.
Ooh, that'd be a fun wink.
She's Velma, so she's incredible. She could definitely like play up kind of the powerful mold that that character would have to have. I think she'd be great. But yeah, I think it would have been fun to kind of see that adversary relationship in conjunction with Velma and Roxy as well.
Yeah, I stand that. I have two nominations for potential people that could play this role. Number one person that comes to mind is Billy Porter.
Ooh, that would be great.
I feel like he would play such a good lawyer. Number two is Patina Miller. I feel like she could do like a really similar vibe to what she did in Pippin with Leading Player.
I totally see that.
Not similar in that the same character, but like the really just like rewriting and recreating it and making it totally her own, like transcendent performance.
No, I definitely see that,
I think those two could be really good candidates.
I love that. It would be like, it would just be great. Like instead of just, you know, Billy Flynn like tapping his way through his whole argument in the courtroom scene, you could have a tap battle. So think like Hamilton.
Yeah.
And like a rap battle, it's a tap battle. Just saying.
And we both reach for the gun. Could be like a blah, 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 blah,
blah. Oh, yes. I'm totally like, what's it called? What are they called? Puppets? What are the puppets called?
Puppeteer.
No. When they talk. Oh, my God. We have to cut this out. What are they called? What are they like?
Ventriloquist?
Yes, that's it. Oh my god. Ventriloquist battle, tap battle. I like it. I think it would have been great.
Yeah. Damn. I'm 100% on board with that.
All right. What's your recreate idea?
Okay. I took a little bit of a different spin this week. So one of my favorite things in like YouTube musical theater community, whatever, is this, they're honestly not that common anymore, but they used to be huge in like 2018, these things called musical theater compilations. And basically what it would do is it would take one line that might be like a really expressive or weird line that when it stands alone or something like that, and they would just compile like 50 videos of different people doing that. Everyone from like pros to like high schoolers and middle schoolers and community productions, like everything in between. I think that the very first one, I could be wrong, but to my knowledge, the very first one was by Emily Whitlow. And it was the song Astonishing from Little Women. And it was like a ton of people going, Christopher Columbus! Like, because it's that part where you kind of have to ad lib it and just be like, you're not singing it. And so, I don't know, when you just cut it out like that and it's a ton of people, it's hilarious.
Yeah.
One of the other ones that I've seen of this is from Legally Blonde. And it's the line, Courtney, take your break. Which I find amazing for so many reasons. Anyway, what I decided to do for my recreate is, let's be honest, we can't recreate Legally Blonde musical. It's too good. So I decided that I wanted to bring a little bit of Legally Blonde to other musicals to make them better and recreate them.
Oh.
So I decided to rewrite the line, Courtney, take your break, and see what it would look like in a handful of other shows. So actually, Sammy, this one's a little interactive. I'm going to say them and you have to guess the show.
Okay. Oh.
So the way it goes is, dear L honey, our mistake, Courtney, take your break. Mm-hmm. So Courtney, take your break is the line we're going off of. This okay. one is, waiter, give me cake.
Waitress.
Yes.
Okay, good job.
Sammy.
Pat on my back.
Sammy, wake and bake. It's kind of a stretch.
Wake and bake.
It's hair.
Okay.
I'm just like weed.
Weed.
Jamie, you heartbreak.
Oh, the last 5 years.
Yeah. Sorry, my mistake. This one's, you're not gonna get. It's Les Mis.
Okay. What?
It's like, sorry for stealing the bread.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. This one is a bit of a doozy. Not how you spell ache.
Ache? What?
It's 25th Annual Putnam Spelling Bee.
Oh!
And the word ache in this scenario is actually spelled A-I-T-C-H, but pronounced ache. So I'm like, that could have been a spell. It's not in the show, but I'm like, okay. That could have been a spelling bee word.
I could have. I was about to say, I was in that show, and I don't remember spelling that word.
No, I love that show. So, okay. Give me that mandrake.
A mandrake.
Sammy.
Oh, is it Harry Potter? Is it
yeah.
Harry Potter musical?
Which I was just thinking like Cursed Child. Some of these aren't exactly musicals either. They're just kind of like.
Harry Potter musical is a musical. We should definitely cover that. Oh my God.
You won a sweepstake.
Is it Charlie in the Chocolate
Factory? Yep. Oh! Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Awesome. Excuse me, you're a snake.
Ooh. A snake?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Children of Eden.
Oh, damn. Lost in the
written by Alfred Drake. He's a writer. He wrote Kiss Me K in Oklahoma.
So it could be either one. Okay.
This one I think is my favorite. Pate toe pancake.
Like a latke? Oh, is it Fiddler?
Yeah.
Real?
Yeah, it is.
Oh my God.
Mother, I'm awake.
Once upon a mattress?
Next to normal.
Oh, shoot.
I'm like, I'm alive, I'm awake, same thing.
Oh, same tip.
Sensa tip snowflake.
Frozen?
Elf.
Oh,
ooh, Frozen, honestly, could be better. Lively, comma, Blake. this
Lively.
One's not real, but if there was a Blake Lively musical, that would
oh my
be
God.
That would need to be in there. And last one, time for a dance break.
Literally, like,
yeah.
A dancing musical?
What's the first one that comes to mind, though, of a dancing musical? Because this is mine.
A Chorus Line.
Damn, now that you say that, I agree, but
what is
if
it?
Anything goes.
Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good.
Yeah, so those are my takes on Courtney, Take Your Break.
I love it. I think Thank I did pretty you. Well.
Did yeah, I? You did. You got a, and some of them were pretty damn out there. So
I'm pretty happy about potato pancakes. So.
Well, that wraps up today.
God, that's the best of an episode.
Should we give a teaser? It really was.
It really was.
We might need to do some editing.
We'll be good. It'll be fine.
Yeah,
no
it'll be
know.
Fine. Yeah, so let's go ahead and tease next week. The category is, drumroll please, Forbidden Love. So guess in the comments below wherever you're watching this
listening,
what shows we'll be talking about.
What could it be? I don't know.
We'll find out.
We'll find out. All right, guys. Thanks so much for sticking with us.
Thank you. For real.
We love it. All right, bye.
Bye, everyone.